Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 203, recorded on March 21st, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good.
I probably should be running a backup recording, right?
Oh, Adam.
Sorry, I have my cat transcribing, so we're fine.
Okay, so your cat is the podcast stenographer?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So far, she has Rower and purr, which pretty much sums up the show.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. That's the one with the backup cat stenographer thing.
She's doing a great job too.
Some good tech that you have over there.
I believe in only the highest quality tech.
That reminds me. Have you guys seen? Have you been watching Cosmos, the new Cosmos series?
No, because I don't have regular TV.
It's on Fox.
Well, I don't have regular TV at all. I don't have an antenna even.
Oh. Yeah, well, the antennas don't pick up Fox very well at all. So, well, it picks up the analog broadcast, which I thought they'd stop doing that, but it just looks terrible, so I watch it later on the computer. But, yeah, it's really cool. They were talking about this last episode was... talking about evolution and a lot about how wolves ended up being what dogs are today, and that sort of reminded me. Well, the discussion of the cat reminded me of that. But it's a cool series, so I recommend everybody check it out.
It sounds fantastic, and it's just killing me that I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I don't think I really watched any of the original series. I have always meant to, but so I don't know how it compares. This series is it's a little bit it seems to be playing toward children a little bit, so it has that kind of quality to it. It's hard to describe. You'll know it when you see it, but it's very good. So we're here talking about iPhone stuff though, and related sorts of things, and that's why we're going to talk about the Android Wear project, because it looks really cool.
It actually does look cool.
It looks really cool. It's like the first time I've seen a wearable tech anything demonstration or real or halfway in between like this is that has intrigued me and made me say I want that, because the idea of having a watch with, you know, whatever everybody's promised is going to be on the watch has never seemed that compelling to me. But this is compelling. It looks great. And it really ties in. If you haven't seen the video, definitely go out and watch it. But it really ties in all of the great Google services that they've been working on for the last couple of years, specifically with the Google Now tech, where it's aware of where you are and what's going on in your appointments and what's going on in your emails, like airline tickets and all that stuff. it just looks great. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, man, if Apple doesn't do something that's just about as good or if not better, then they're just going to fail with their watch tech. Now, to be fair, Google hasn't come out with it yet. There's an SDK, but they have partners, hardware partners that are working on it.
Motorola is making one that'll be out in the summer.
This summer?
Yes.
This summer.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
It has a lot of potential. Their video, I'll call it a proof of concept video,
sure,
since there's actually not really any products, is pretty compelling and I think kind of exciting.
Yeah,
so,
it's called the Moto 360.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping that this starts the serious competition in the wearables market.
Yeah, it must.
Yeah, and I think the other big competitor ultimately will be Apple, because Well, look at what Samsung has put out so far.
Well, I think that Apple understands, just as Google seems to understand, at least with this project, that you need to make something that's really compelling and has a lot of payoff for somebody. Because not only do you need to provide a motivation for someone to simply buy something, so it can't just be pretty. It also needs to be very useful day to day for them to actually put it on their wrist. Now, the issue was a lot less. It wasn't as big of an issue with phones, for example, because you really, you know, when Apple started out, you just needed to make a phone that did texting really well, calls really well, and, you know, a little bit here and there, because you got to have a phone. With this, it's a whole new thing that, you know, most people don't wear watches that I know of now. People typically look at their phones for time. And so the wearables, I think, is a whole new proposition for people.
So, but the one thing about the Motorola, and I think John Martellaro put this out, because I saw this Moto 360 in the Android Wear, is Android Wear, right? That's what they're calling
yes.
the yep. mobile. And I was like blown away. I'm like, this is really cool. And I was kind of thinking the same way as you, Michael. But then he aptly pointed out, in that demo, they do not show anything that couldn't be done by taking your phone out of your pocket.
Yeah, of course.
With an Android device. I mean, the styling is cooler than anything else we've seen. It's the, you know, it's the round watch. It's a gorgeous looking piece of hardware. But in terms of what you're doing with it, it just all it's doing in terms of being revolutionary is saving you having to pull your phone out of your pocket. Mm-hmm. So it's using the card interface, which works really great. It's using the Google Now stuff, which is awesome. So you can ask it things and have it return data. You can voice reply to your memos. You're not going to be taking calls on it, I don't think. They didn't show that application. At least maybe no. You probably could use it as a speakerphone. But, I mean, so as cool as it is, it did kind of make me pause and take a step back and go, yeah, you know, it's not really changing much, other than giving you a different screen in a different location on your body.
Yes. What it's changing is the style, I think.
Right.
Yeah, because it's taking what we already have in the wearables market and making it, fashion friendly. And and it looks like there might be some slick ways that the interface will work. But this is not a revolutionary product. It's just what should have already happened in the general wearables market.
Yeah, and keep in mind, we haven't gotten a price point on this. So what happens if the price point is $500? Is it as cool?
Suddenly it's not as cool.
No, and if it is $500, then you know Apple's is going to be at least $500, if not more. But I think the real...
I mean, what could it be? I mean, I haven't heard really anybody kind of speculating on this. I mean, Motorola's Gear watch is what, in that $300 price range, right? I'm remembering correctly, or am I getting that wrong?
I don't know.
Did I say Motorola's Gear? Samsung's. Samsung's Gear, right?
Yeah, I was thinking Motorola watches. But the Samsung Gear is a $300 watch.
And this seems way cooler than that. Right. So you would think it needs to be, I guess, 250 maybe for the Gear. Yeah, 250, 300. I'm seeing pricing. I'm just doing some quick Googling.
Yeah.
So you would think this would be at least in that $300 plus price range, right?
Yeah. That is a lot for a watch.
Yeah.
But I think the real innovation
is in there functionally. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Sorry. I didn't mean to really cut you off, Michael, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, the real innovation with it, and it seems that Google has kind of figured it out, is, okay, this is definitely going to be a companion for a phone, first and foremost. And the second part is, when you're trying to come up with the concept of what this is going to be, whether you're just thinking about it generally or you're actually trying to create a product, you could take it all the way and say, I'm going to transport the entire phone interface to a watch. And of course, that doesn't work just in the same that transporting the Mac interface, the standard Mac interface to a phone or to a tablet doesn't work. You need to make something that works well for the form factor. And not only just creating a UI that does that well, but also trying to determine what sort of information makes sense there and what doesn't so much make sense there, and the way in which you interact with that information. And from the video, it seems as though Google has put that together in a very good way. And thankfully, I think that that's, of course, one of Apple's strong suits is when they do come out with this thing, whatever features they plan to put in there, I think are going to be very well implemented, and you'll be able to get around and use it very well. I'm more concerned about the features that will be in there. So if it's all fitness stuff, that's cool. But I mean, you know, Fitbit and all that stuff has a much more limited market, I think, than something that has the fitness stuff built in addition to the having your watch on your hand and it being sort of a portal to the phone, so you don't have to keep taking it out and stroking it in public. And you know, the information that Google has right out of the box with Google Now is so much better than what Apple has available. I mean, if you look at the Today screen on your iPhone, yeah, it's kind of cool. It says a little bit about the weather, and it is cool that it learns about where you go regularly, and it can say, hey, you know, the traffic going to work today looks a little bit hairy. It's going to probably take a little longer than usual. You're going to get there around this time if you leave now. That's cool. That's a little bit Google Now, and it has the calendar and all that stuff. But Google Now just has so much more stuff built into it that I think Apple is going to have to do a little catch up. And the same goes for Siri. I mean, you got to think that it doesn't seem that Google or Apple has done so much with Siri in the last iOS update. Sure, you can turn on and off you know, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and yeah, you can tell her to play a very specific song instead of just play an album. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there really isn't that much more that they've added. You got to think that they've been working on that. If they're working on a watch, you got to think they're working on the services to support it. And that definitely,
how much do you use Siri though? Or how much have you been using Siri? Cause I think you're not being fair.
Okay, well,
because I use Siri a lot, and I keep being surprised by all the new stuff that's in there, and you can't really discover it unless you're using Siri.
True.
Yeah. Okay. So I try to use Siri.
For example, yesterday, I was going somewhere, and it was getting late in the day, and I needed to stop at a certain place, and I didn't know if they were going to be open or not, and I was driving around, and I said, "Hey," and it actually was the DMV. I said, "Can you, Siri, what are the hours for the DMV in Oceanside," which is where I was going.
Okay.
And she was able to go get the information, respond, and reply, "Oh, they're open from 8 to 5 today."
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've had success like that too.
Yeah. And she's doing more stuff from Wolfram Alpha, where she actually reads back the responses rather than you having to look at the screen or even getting the Wolfram Alpha thing. Not every time, mm-hmm. but it seems to keep expanding, because I, in the back of my mind, often have things where I thought I asked a similar question in the past and I got the stupid web response.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting a more verbal response or direct Siri response of that data.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if that's Apple doing stuff behind the scenes and changing it. So I think there might be, I'm getting a sense that there could be Siri updates that are happening outside of iOS updates.
I have a feeling you're right.
Yeah.
It seems like every now and then I have a new surprise where something where I was expecting just the web interface is Siri interacting with me.
Yeah. Yeah, so you might want to do that a little bit. I think Apple's doing that a little bit more. The one area where I think you're absolutely correct is more on the predictive kind of data that Google's doing. But for Apple, I think that gets into a real gray area that Google has no problems crossing, and that's the whole privacy thing.
Yep.
So
yep.
Google doesn't give a crud about your privacy. And they're able to do a lot more things that I think Apple's a little more hesitant to do. But I've also always maintained that Apple has a better ability to bring a lot of that kind of functionality but in a better way than Google in terms of privacy, because they can keep all that data private. They don't need to sell that data or use that data to make money on other services, right? So Apple can keep that in-house. They can just use it to give you better information, but they don't need to share that with advertisers or other people. So I'd rather see Apple dipping into my contacts to get certain kinds of information or use my geolocation information just privately to give me better Siri results, knowing that they're not going to have to share that. You know, the bummer with Google now and, you know, using that in the Google app, it's awesome. But at the same time, it's also, I know that Google, you know, gave my flight information to, or, you know, travel information, at least even in a broad sense, to a bunch of airlines, you know, when they wanted aggregate data about, hey, where are men, you know, who are 40 plus in San Diego going? You know, traveling to. They're totally sharing all that data and information. I have no qualms about that. And I don't even know how granular they get, but I know at the very least they're sharing at that level, if not.
It wouldn't surprise me if they're getting very granular, because they're, I mean, they'll also parse through your Gmail so that they can display ads that are relevant to the messages you're getting.
Sure. I like a lot of that stuff, and I'm kind of okay with it. But at the same time, you know, you're going, I think I'd rather Apple be messing with that data and using that data, because they're not going to sell it to anybody. They're just going to keep it inside Apple for now. You know, whether that'll change or not, who knows? But their current business model does not rely on advertising. And iAd hasn't really gotten to the point where I worry about it too much. So, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the cool thing about the Moto 360 and this thing is definitely put some pressure on Apple. You know, and we're going to be waiting to see what they do. Now the thing is how close are they? Because definitely Google's plowing forward really fast.
Yeah, if there's going to be products out this summer, they're moving fast.
But the question is, are they rushing to market, and is it going to suck? It looks awesome. I mean, it's easy to make an awesome looking, you know, virtual video, but it's a whole different thing when the real thing hits the street.
Yeah.
Right. So we can give it a lot of credit for being cool right now in terms of concept. And if they can pull off exactly what they've shown, it's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm a little leery of where the price point's going to be. I have a feeling that it's going to be right around the same as the Galaxy Gear. So I'm predicting at a minimum a $300 base price point and possibly going up from there, which for, you know, a high-end luxury watch is not that expensive, right? So I think it's going to be definitely starting out on the higher end of the market, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, as we know from, you know, Apple. So...
Yeah, well, regardless of the price point, the big thing for me is whether or not the whole Android Wear thing can live up to the hype Google has created. Because if so, then we'll have serious competition when Apple comes out with their wearables.
Yeah.
But then again, you remember when Palm was getting ready to release their WebOS smartphones?
Yep.
And that whole thing just imploded. And I saw that as the true competitor for
the
iPhone.
A lot of us did. Yeah, a lot of us did at the time.
And that just imploded, and that was that. So we lost that market competition before it ever really happened.
Well, Google has a lot more money behind it than Palm had available.
That's true. But if this implodes, well, then we really don't have any competition for Apple.
Here's sort of what I predict. I think that the Android, why can I never remember the name of the OS? So it's Android Wear.
Yeah.
Android Wear OS, coupled with the Motorola hardware from Google, that's going to be the killer product. The thing is Android Wear, I think, is just like Android. It's available to other manufacturers. So we're going to see a gazillion other Android Wear watches that I think are going to be awful.
Yeah, that's possible.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at the smartphone and tablet market, and that will tell you what to expect from the majority of the wearable products.
Yeah, but I think even more so than Motorola does with their phones, because the Motorola X has been done fairly well, but I mean, it's certainly not a runaway success in the way that Samsung's Android phones are. But I think with the wearable, I think right now it looks like the Moto 360 is going to be the one that, you know, if it does everything that they say it does and it gets out before Apple's going to be chasing that. They just are to a certain degree. Now, we don't know everything that's in Apple. So I think where Apple might trump them, and I think you're totally right, Michael, is it has to do more than just be a fitness band, right? That's a very small market. But I think the key there is going to be apps. And obviously, Android and Google, they already recognize that because they're already got the SDK ready. And, yep. You know, they're going to have apps on there. And the proof of that to me is my Pebble didn't really become useful until the apps were opened up and I could get apps through, you know, apps for my watch through the Pebble app on my iOS device and install those. And the reason is because a wearable, even more than a phone, is going to be such a personal device in terms of how people use it. So you can't pigeonhole it into, oh, it's a watch, it's a notification thing, it's a fitness tracker. Because each person is going to go, well, I don't care about fitness tracking, but sure as heck, I want to be able to check in my social media on my phone. And other people are going to say, I don't give a rat's about that. I want to do messages and I want to get my travel information and I want to get my weather.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it has to be able to be personalized with apps even more than your smartphone, I think.
Yeah. And I think the Passbook is going to be one of those things. You mentioned that. And I think Passbook would be really cool on that. You know, just scanning your
again,
you know,
for some people
and that sort of thing.
I mean, if you go to a lot of movies, if you're doing a lot of sporting events, yeah, that would be awesome. If you never do that stuff, you don't want that on there because you're going to have such a limited amount of memory and platform. You know, you're only going to have so much space. You only have so much screen real estate. So you're going to want to be able to really tailor it to who you are in terms of a device.
Yeah. Now, you got to think that Apple's probably working with some third-party developers behind closed doors, as they do with, I think, every one of the SDKs in the last few years. So it's very possible that they, you know, they may be working with a group of 10 developers, or you know, or even just a few that will come out with some really cool apps right away. For the device whenever it comes up. But then again, I mean, I'm still thinking if Google's going to have their the Motorola watch out in the summer, you got to wonder. I mean, I think Apple's going to be a few months behind, regardless, at least out of the gate.
Well,
yeah,
that depends on when Apple started working on whatever it is that they have and when they actually plan on releasing it. Because if Motorola is planning on having something out this summer, they've already been working on it.
Yeah, so, but developers haven't had a chance to play with it until now. Now, developers won't have a chance to play with Apple's until WWDC.
So, all right, that's a good point.
So there's a little bit of lead time there regardless.
Yep, you're right. I forgot about the WWDC factor, which is actually really important.
It is. But yeah. It's not too far away. I'm looking forward to it for sure, because then that's when we get to see all the goodies.
That's right.
Assuming there are goodies.
I mean, if Google really wanted to mess with Apple, they would make dang sure that the Moto 360 had really good integration with iOS.
Oh, that would be iPhones. Really smart.
That would be. And I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at this thing, and that's the only thing that was going through my head was, oh, man, if this works with my iPhone, I'm totally getting that.
And that's, I think there's a lot of people that would think that.
Yeah.
And again, because it's likely to be a higher end item, Apple has the right market that they would want to go after. So a lot of people are going to have, you know, the kind of cash that would be willing to plunk down for that if it had great integration. That was something that Pebble suffered from, was their iPhone integration at first was very poor. And it took them a very long time to get that up and running. But if from day one this thing integrates well with the iPhone,
yeah,
then there is a potential they could steal some sales from Apple before Apple gets their device in the market. There's going to be a certain percentage of people that won't wait. They'll just go for this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Yeah, and if it's around the $300 mark, those people aren't going to want to shell out another $250 or $300 when Apple's thing comes out.
Yeah. And
wait a generation. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's the kind of impact it can have. It'll have a slowing down of Apple's adoption. And that's what I mean by Apple will be playing a little bit of catch up. I'm not concerned that Apple's product isn't going to be as amazing or revolutionary. I think we could have banked on that. But what was interesting about this announcement was here is Google and Motorola really getting at what I see as an Apple level product.
Yep.
In terms of how thought out the design is, how thought out the UI looks. Again, we haven't used it, so it's hard to judge, you know, but based on what's in the videos, I mean, this is definitely that quality. And I think, again, the key is the integration of the hardware and the software. That's why I think the Moto 360 is going to be the watch that's going to pull it off, because it's a Google manufactured hardware with Google designed software coupled together.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Yep, it'll be interesting to see what happens, especially if that Motorola watch gets out there before WWDC happens. Now, at the same time, you could say that, I mean, by the time, let's say that the Motorola watch is going to be released 2 weeks before WWDC, well, WWDC is going to be on the radar of people who are on the cutting edge of this sort of thing, people who would jump out and buy that watch right away. So I think there may be a little bit of, you know, wait and see on that. But if Apple says it's going to be another 3 months, then...
They've said summer, and I took that to mean probably the end of summer. I wasn't thinking it was going to be June.
Sure. Okay. Well, then...
But I have no evidence for that. It's just my thought. Like,
Yeah.
They just announced this thing. I can't imagine that they have it ready to go in June. I was thinking maybe they were trying to beat Apple's, because most people are believing if Apple does announce an iWatch wearable, that it would be coming out in that fall time frame. So we're talking September. And if Motorola can get theirs out summer, say late July, early August, they'll already beat Apple to market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so moving on to the Apple announced the iPad 4.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, again. So I guess the iPad 4 took over the spot that the iPad 2 was hanging out, right?
Yep. $399 entry level iPad.
Yep. And that's for a, what, 16?
16 gig.
Yeah, 16 gig.
A5 processor.
Six.
Is that right? A6 processor. Yep. Lightning connector instead of dock connector.
That, which is very good for Apple and everybody else who wants to remain sane.
Yes.
And a good camera. Yeah, lots of great things. It is heavier, of course, but I mean, it's a kick butt iPad for sure. And only $400, you can get one of the cellular model for $130 more. So $530, you got your cellular kick butt iPad. So that's a good deal, and that's for everybody. And the iPhone 5C you can get in 8 gigabytes in certain countries, UK, France, Germany, Australia, and China. And I guess that's to try and work on the growth in areas where there's not so much. LTE
phone growth.
Yes, exactly.
And so we don't get a bunch of emails. It's the A6X, technically.
Oh, yeah. It's right in front of my face, of course. I didn't even see it. Yeah, A6X.
And I'm doing this off the top of my head. So that was my excuse.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in the X is you have to have the four core processors to drive the Retina display.
Right. Yeah, the graphics processor, right?
Yeah, because I mean, actually, the iPad 4, I think from a performance perspective, actually runs slower than, or the fourth generation iPad runs slower than the third generation iPad.
Right, but it's also...
No, none of you got that backwards. Or you're a generation off. It went iPad 2, then iPad 3 had Retina, right? Mm-hmm. And that ran slower than the 2.
Oh, there you go.
And then the iPad 4.
Oh, that's right.
iPad 4 is faster
than
all those.
Because it brought back the, yeah, you're right. Sorry,
that's
brought
right.
the quad
but
core
it, but I don't know if it brought it all the way back up to the iPad 2 level. But it but it was a definite improvement.
The 4? You don't think it brought it back up?
No, I just don't remember.
Okay.
If it did.
I think it was quite a bit faster. I remember getting the iPad 4, selling my iPad 2 and saying, "Yeah, this is great. It's a lot faster, but man, is it just it's just heavier than the iPad 2." So then I returned.
You meant the iPad 3.
No, I got the 4.
I got
the iPad 4. I sold the iPad 2. It was heavier.
The 4
than
was
the two.
Heavier than the 2?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, huh. It's because of all those pixels.
Yeah, so many pixels.
They weigh a lot. So much.
Yeah, a couple of grams. I was surprised. I mean, it was literally just a couple of grams, but I noticed it because you have to hold that thing up, you know?
So. Yeah, I guess I've had the Air too long now. The Air is awesome.
The Air is wonderful.
The iPad Air.
Yeah, I still think it's a little bit too heavy for, you know, reading for any extended period of time. Well,
compared to like the Mini?
Yeah, compared to the Mini, it's heavier, but I figured it would be light enough that I wouldn't care so much about it, but it's definitely not something you want to hold up for an extended period of time.
You need to get out and do some weightlifting or something, Michael.
No kidding.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm a total weakling. We'll have to have an arm wrestling competition at Macworld. At Cirque du Mac, we'll get drunk and arm wrestle.
Perfect.
God. Hair is too heavy.
Yeah,
I'll video this
for my noodly arms.
Yeah, we'll do that.
No, I'm easily entertained.
Yeah, moving on to iPhone 6 rumors. There's not a whole lot other than one of the financial analysts. He believes, which guy is it? I'm looking through here. Brian Marshall of ISI Group. He believes, and I think there's some truth to this, that the larger iPhone screens may cause a more significant spike in upgrades than one would expect with just a traditional iPhone upgrade if the screens haven't, you know, hadn't changed, gotten bigger. But he also believes that it may lure Android users, probably more so those users who switched from iPhone to Android for a bigger screen, which again makes sense if they're discontent with Android, which I assume everybody is. But of course, that's wrong.
But we still love you.
Yeah.
I'm changing my pick now.
Okay. What do you guys think about that assessment? You think that's hogwash or what? Chirp. Who knows? I think that's the nobody knows.
There's so little we know right now.
Certainly there is. And I guess we're still thinking that we're going to see three iPhone sizes in total.
No.
No?
That's just you, Michael.
That's just me? I thought so. Okay.
Try one.
One size. So just ginormous.
No.
No. No.
4.7 is what I'm putting my
money on. So everything's going to be 4.7. There's going to be no 4-inch?
No.
No 5.5-inch?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to get that 5.5-inch, though, if it does come out.
Seriously?
I'm going to get that iPad
phone.
You're
a tool.
Yeah, I might be. Yeah. If that's
why don't you just hold your iPad to your head and say things like, "I'm going to make a call
on my ginormous tablet." Gigantophone.
Yeah, I'm a gigantophone.
I got a call on my gigantophone.
I just remember, did you see that picture of Simon Pegg several years ago when the iPad first came out? He was holding his iPad up to his head and the caption was, "Hello, ambulance, I'm shrinking."
Yeah. So
I shouldn't laugh. I only encourage you.
So I got the Veronica Mars movie, right? Because I like that show and I was excited about the movie. I missed out on getting in on the Kickstarter backing thing, but I was kind of happy about that after
the whole actually made out better.
Ultraviolet debacle. But there was a very heavy Samsung sponsorship in that movie.
Uh-huh.
And
this is after everyone ponied up cash so they could make the movie. Then they went and got a sponsor on top of that.
I'm pretty sure, because there was Samsung product placement everywhere. They had those gigantophones, and it was just bugging me every time they would pick up. They were massive. It's like holding a dinner plate to your head or something. I don't know. It's stupid. I'm trying. I'm really trying to understand. I get it. I get why people like the bigger screen. Trust me, I understand. But it's a phone. And I guess maybe it's because people don't use a phone as a phone.
Yeah. It's because my iPad's way over across on the other side of the room, and I don't want to get that. And I have my phone in my pocket, and I want to, look at my phone. Look at the internet.
I guess I need to get a gigantophone, and then I just need a handset,
a
Bluetooth handset phone that goes with it.
Yeah.
Like a little normal sized thing I can hold to my face when I actually need to use it as a phone. And then I can just leave it in my pocket.
Yeah, that's going
to
fit your pocket?
I have to get bigger pants.
Yeah.
I have to get bigger pants for the phone.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Or carry two phones, in which case you still need bigger pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You need
a
Utilikilt or something from Scott Evest.
Those are awesome.
Utilikilts?
Yeah.
Okay, now who was the, it's like a sports star that's a spokesperson for
LeBron James.
Yeah, tweeted that his Samsung phone crashed and lost all its data.
Yeah, his Galaxy Note.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's just a big bucket of awesome. Well, for him.
I've never heard of that happening before. I mean, is that a real thing? I didn't follow up on that to find out, does this happen to a lot of people? Is it a fluke, like 1% thing? Or
I know someone who had a Samsung phone crash. And when it came back up, all their stuff was gone. Like, everything was gone.
Oh, wow.
But that's only one person.
No,
not good. I've never heard of an iPhone doing that. Other than you drop it in the toilet and it won't start up anymore.
Yeah,
which is a bad problem to have.
But it just doing like a springboard crash or something, and then it comes back
afterwards.
It's totally factory restored.
That's a nice feature.
It helps you keep your memory use down.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a backup mechanism like the iPhone where when I dock so I can get my data back if I can get back to my computer? Or is it the kind of thing where it's just like gone?
Well, for some of that data, it's stored in your Google account.
Right.
Because it's using Google calendars and Gmail, stuff like that. So that data goes back, but I'm assuming everything else, unless you've done some other form of backup, it's just gone.
Right. You have to have some other like backup app I don't know. I don't even know what you sync a Android phone.
Why do we even talk about Android stuff? We know nothing about it.
I had an Android phone for a while, but I mean, there was no mechanism to connect it to the computer. So I'm assuming, assuming I would have had to have gone out and like deliberately found like a backup app and say, I want to back this up to Google Cloud or SkyDrive or whatever, or I want to sync it with, some sort of backup application on my PC or my Mac or something like that. I just think it's probably a more thoughtful process. Like you have to deliberately set it up. But well, I could be totally wrong.
You could. I mean, if you think about it, the people who have iPhones these days, unless they're nerdier or geekier, they typically don't plug their phones into their computers anymore. Why would you do that? Why would I want to do that? Is what they would say. Which is why Apple has the iCloud backup and all of the stuff that goes with that. Of course, we know that Google has the sync across the contacts and calendars and all that stuff, but I'm not sure if they must have some kind of backup feature, because I mean, at this day and age, that's something that's pretty universally accepted that you should have that,
you would think.
I'm doing some Googling and it looks like there's some sort of app called Kai's.
Well, I'm sure. I'm positive. I'm absolutely positive that there are apps out there, very popular apps that you can throw on your Mac or PC and sync and back up your Android phone. But again, it's one of those things that's definitely you have to think, okay, I want to back up my phone. And of course, it doesn't come on every computer essentially like iTunes does, certainly on every Mac. But you got to think there's some kind of cloud backup service. And we're going to get comments about it, so it's not even worth talking
Samsung about anymore. Samsung Kais. I guess if you have a Samsung phone, they have a built-in system, which I'm assuming would be like iCloud backup.
All right. So maybe there's
Keys, Samsung Keys. Maybe it's Keys, K-I-E-S.
Okay. So Samsung has their own thing, but it's not a general Android thing that's part of the whole.
Well, Google and for Android, you have your Google stuff, like you just said, your contacts, Gmail, calendar, all that stuff. And then there are third party apps, I guess, that you can buy and install to back up other data. But definitely the Samsung devices looks like they have a built-in proprietary software for keeping your device backed up.
Yeah, it looks like there are quite a few apps you can download to your phone for that. But
I'm assuming the Samsung Keys thing would be like iCloud, you know, where you enable it. Once you've enabled it, then everything's backing up to their servers or what have you. It looks like this one, you actually connect to a computer too. You can back it up over there to your computer.
It makes sense that Samsung would have their own thing if there's not a standard Android thing. But anyway, we should move on because there are just people yelling at their MP3 players now saying,
like,
what show is this? Yeah, they're saying that and stop talking about Android stuff. What else do we have? I guess iOS 7. People on iOS 7.1 are having issues with their personal hotspots. And I guess it has something to do with...
Wait a minute. Let's back up and say people. Which people, Michael?
People who are on iOS 7.1.
And they're paying for mobile hotspot are having issues?
I assume so. You can't fake the hotspot thing anymore. If you're jailbroken. Certainly you can't jailbreak... 7.1, you can fake the hotspot if you're jailbroken, but you can't jailbreak on 7.1. So this is not about jailbreaking or faking.
Okay, so this is about legitimate hotspot users having problems.
Yeah, and it seems like it's sort of limited to T-Mobile. Well, I guess in the U.S. it would be limited to T-Mobile because one does not usually have access to the cellular data APNs and that sort of thing. So I guess it's tied in somehow to the fact that in 7.1 you can't save your APN information, and that's what the phone uses to figure out how to connect to the data networks.
I thought this was because of the APN tweaking.
No, that doesn't happen anymore. You can't do that. That was crushed in like iOS 4.
Oh, see, I'm not a jailbreaker, so that's why I need you.
It wasn't even a jailbreak thing. It was a non-jailbreak thing.
Right, I didn't mean jailbreak. I meant...
A bad person?
I don't hack. Yeah. Because I did it that one time and got caught, so then I don't do it anymore.
Well, you know, rule number one is don't get caught, so... Right. Next time.
Yeah. So Adam broke the rule.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well... What I learned that day was that doing a restore from backup actually restores that stuff.
Yeah, it would.
Because I thought I was resetting my device before I took it into the Apple Store by restoring from like a backup, you know, by wiping it and restoring from backup, and then took it in thinking, oh, hey, I'm all okay. I'm all restored to normal.
Yep.
And then the guy goes in and goes, well, what's this?
And you're like,
points to the custom profile. I don't know. My friend did that. I don't know.
Is that what you said?
That's exactly the right thing to say. That's a good cop out.
Yeah. I don't know. My friend did that.
But then there's that split second before you see the screen when you hear him go, "What's this?"
Yeah.
And you're thinking, "Oh my God, what photos have I taken in the last week?"
Oh man.
Anyway, so this isn't related to that. This is just more. The factory APN settings or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily the factory ones, the ones that people use with certain carriers for whatever reason. It looks like there's users in Germany, India, Austria, Spain, Serbia, Thailand, et cetera, et cetera. and more have reported the issues with hotspots. So I think it's probably more so in other countries where one has to type those things in manually. Whereas if you're on AT&T or Verizon, I believe it's a simple thing. And I think that if you're, for example, if you're one of those people who has an unlocked, like a factory unlocked phone, iPhone, that's on T-Mobile and they give you tethering in your plan, then I think that's where you're going to see the issue.
So what was this part of it about it just being an issue with unauthorized use of hotspots?
I didn't hear about that.
Okay, because that's what I thought I was reading. That Apple was trying to, that the issue, or maybe it's just because the issue, is it a spillover where Apple's trying to close up and shut down the unauthorized use of hotspots on unofficial carriers?
Okay, I'm looking at this. Changes in iOS 7.1 have disabled the ability to manually edit tethering settings for unauthorized carriers, according to reports, blah, blah, blah. Personal hotspot or settings for personal hotspot are not saved once the user backs out of the settings app. Okay. Users with carriers that support personal hotspot have reported a smooth experience, while those who previously experienced the issue and swapped their SIM have seen the problem disappear. I don't know. It does sound kind of like that Apple is actually cracking down. You probably saw this story on Apple Insider. Is that where you saw that?
I saw it a couple different places.
Okay, yeah,
and that's why I thought it was related to the profile hacking or tweaking.
Well, I mean, they closed that down forever ago, and honestly, so I think it's so the issue is where carriers that are non-standard. So you're throwing your SIM card in, and I would imagine it has to be with an unlocked phone, right? It has to be, because if you're putting a SIM card that's in a device that's not set up for it, that is locked, if it's locked to AT&T, it's just not going to work. So, I mean, tethering is the least of your issues. So it must be an unlocked phone, and it must be one of those carriers. So such as if you have an iPhone 5 it used to be an AT&T phone and you had it unlocked, factory unlocked, then you have to type in some of those settings manually. And because it's not a T-Mobile iPhone that they sell from T-Mobile, I guess the combination of having to plug the information in manually and it not being a specifically for that carrier, it just triggers whatever feature in there that Apple keeps from allowing you to do tethering on a non authenticated carrier, on a non tied in carrier.
Yeah. So these are non Apple approved carriers that people are having.
Right.
That was my understanding. These are non approved Apple carriers that, you know, Apple has said don't sell iPhones, that people are trying to do hotspot tethering on.
And I don't think it's something that Apple is saying you shouldn't be using your iPhone with these other carriers, because unlocking is totally cool and Apple doesn't care, and they of course sell unlocked iPhones. I think for whatever reason they think they need to step in, and maybe some carriers that are allowing the iPhones to be on their networks, the unlocked ones, have been complaining to Apple and saying people are tethering on our networks. You need to make it harder. You need to keep people from doing whatever they're doing. And so that's probably where this is coming from.
Yeah. Seemed an isolated.
It's kind of interesting though, to think that Apple would be working with carriers that, that they don't have, agreements with.
Yeah.
Why would Apple even care?
Yeah. It's weird. Well, maybe they do. You know, it could be. So, for example, in the case of T-Mobile, like with an iPhone 5 that was unlocked from AT&T, you bring it over to T-Mobile. You know, they do have partners with T-Mobile, but they don't have a partner for that specific phone. But at the same time, T-Mobile lets you tether on almost every plan that they have, so you wouldn't think it'd be a big issue.
Yeah.
So,
well, who knows? I mean, like over on iClarified, I think I saw this one. A guy was in Hungary was saying that he was having a problem. His carrier was Telenor in Hungary, and he told them that he couldn't tether anymore. And they said, well, the problem's with the phone. And then he says, well, I took my SIM from my friend's T-Mobile and put it in my phone, and tethering worked fine because they have a carrier agreement with T-Mobile. And he said, then he called back Telenor and they said, well, it may be that we're not official sellers of Apple and iOS 7, and maybe it became more strict.
Wow. Yeah, that has to be what it is. They've got to put out a bug fix for that if that is the case. Because, of course, it's causing people who are legitimately paying for tethering to not be able to do it. Yeah. In addition to those people who are doing it and they shouldn't be. Yeah. So, okay, you're gonna. This is the last, but certainly not the least, and you guys are gonna love this one.
Oh,
Flappy I'm Bird scared. Is going to return to the App Store.
Yeah, move along. We're done.
and it's returning with a warning that it's addictive.
Yeah, it says take a break, right?
Just
please take a break.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
Do not eat iPod Shuffle.
Yeah, are you supposed to? You're not supposed to do that.
Uh-oh.
Did I ever tell you about?
This is going to be uncomfortable.
Did I ever tell you about the time you guys remember Omar, right? Pilot Omar.
Mm-hmm.
He was on here a couple times. My good friend Omar. A couple years ago, I had just come back from Macworld, and I don't know if they still do it, but they used to give out flash drives. A lot of vendors with their information on it. I got a really cool flash drive from Beehive, the company that makes Beehive, I guess it is, the chat client.
Right.
The chat app.
Yeah. So I was a big fan of that. So I was really stoked to have that flash drive. And it was pretty decent. And for whatever reason, something transpired that he kind of like took it from me, and he wouldn't give it back to me. And he's like, I'll eat it. I will. And I'm like, you're not going to eat that. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he just swallowed my flash drive.
That had to be great coming out on the other side.
I don't know that it ever did. He never told me if it did.
Yes, Michael.
It's possible.
I'll give you a little biology 101.
He could be part cyborg. You don't know this.
Okay, if you say you're part cyborg, that's redundant.
Yeah, you're right.
If you swallow plastic and metal and it doesn't destroy your insides on the way down.
Okay.
Or get stuck someplace.
And
it
generally
out.
It will pass through if it's small enough.
How do you know it's not stuck? He would know.
Based on the size and the shape, it probably would have gone through.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And if it was stuck in his intestines somewhere, he probably would have had to have gone to the hospital by now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Or he's a cyborg.
Or he's a cyborg.
Okay, yeah.
Why didn't you plug him into your computer and see if you can download anything?
Okay, we're just gonna close the show out now. So we don't know when Flappy Bird's gonna return, but
it'll be addictive when it comes.
It'll be addictive, yes.
Maybe you can get him to swallow like an iBeacon and a little battery.
Oh, yeah, that sounds productive, actually.
Then he'd be like a roaming iBeacon.
Mm-hmm.
Which totally defeats the purpose, but is interesting anyway.
Yeah. It might be a good way to pick up girls, because then it would, you know, you go by a girl and then her phone goes off. And then
you could
implant some fancy messages
in
there.
Holy crap, that's a totally valid use.
It's like a whole new version of where's Waldo? Where's Michael?
Yeah, and it could say, like, you could disguise it as like your phone's giving you suggestions and you didn't know what the iBeacon thing was. And it's like, what, my phone? Like, oh, there's a handsome man next to me. And like, and you turn and he's like, it says that he's your soulmate. And yeah.
Two Canoes is doing a scavenger hunt at Macworld, I think, with iBeacons.
Oh yeah.
Yes, they are. So that'll be cool.
Man, I got to get on the iBeacon stuff. Seems pretty cool.
I have three of them in my house right now.
Well, next time I go to your house, I'll, I don't know what.
Know what I'm going to do with them.
A message on
Brett
Adam's
Terpstra
phone
is doing some really cool stuff with his Insteon like lighting system and iBeacons. So as he moves from room to room, the lights will go on and off for him automatically.
Put a transmitter on the cat, let it run around the house. Lights randomly on and off.
Putting a transmitter on the cat is always a good idea. It's always a good first step if you're going to have some fun.
That's right.
Some kind of project.
Well, it'd be good for like an automated food feeder or something like that.
Yeah, they actually have that.
I don't know if you can get that close range with an iBeacon, though. That's been the trouble I've been finding, is that there's still some kind of range and issues. Like, I have an issue with mine where they will just randomly get an enter-exit event, even if a device doesn't move.
Oh.
So there's some error correction I think you probably have to do in code, you know, because I'm just using some simple code that's not really check. It's just checking to see if it sees an iBeacon or, you know, it sees a device or not.
Yeah.
Or a beacon or not. And so I don't know if it's like power cycling or probably it's probably more likely wireless or radio interference that, you know, just temporarily interrupts the signal and then it comes back.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
Yep. Okay, so we should talk about our picks, and I'll let Jeff go first.
All right, I'm going with a game this week.
Better not be my pick.
I hope it is your pick, just because it'll bother you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my pick is a game called Line, and it's spelled L-Y-N-E. And it's a really simple puzzle game where you just have to connect beginning and ending points, and you have different colors and shapes, and so you'll have the various shapes mixed together on a grid, and you have to figure out how to link all of your same shapes without crossing the lines that link other shapes. So it's just basically a connect the dots sort of game, and it's very simple, and it can be really hard to solve some levels. So it's not like a game you play it and after 15 minutes, you're like, whatever, okay, that was fun. Because the levels get progressively harder. So it's just a cool little game.
Neat. And it's $3.
Oh, and it's $3.
L-Y-N-E. $2.99.
I think it's universal. I'm playing it on my iPhone, but I think it's universal.
I believe it is. It is. Adam.
Did I even have a pick? I do now.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the desirablebody.co.uk. Go there. This one's specifically for Michael. It's the the Tone Phone iPhone case. It's a weighted iPhone case at 1 to 1.5 kilograms, depending upon what you want to do. And you can work out with your iPhone.
Hang on. Desirablebody.co.uk.
Yep.
This is a workout? What?
It's an iPhone dumbbell case. So you can work out your biceps there, Michael, and then you can get an iPad Air.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be good for me. I don't even Is it really your pick though? Where is this? I don't even see it.
I just put a link in the chat.
Okay.
It's called the Tone Phone with an F. T-O-N-E-F-O-N-E iPhone case.
And it's made with 100% British steel.
Wow. It looks kind of like a bar of soap.
But it won't get you as clean.
So it's 22.9 pounds.
Yep. So you can work out with that. You'll be tone and fit. You'll be able to lift that iPad Air without okay. issue.
And then you'll finally be able to beat Adam at arm wrestling.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. So this is really your pick? You don't want to go something else?
Yeah, why not?
All right, that's cool. Just wanted to make sure. So my pick this week is a game called Threes. And it's awesome. It's cute. It's really fun. Very simple gameplay mechanism.
Oh, no. Have you guys... I got to open it up and see if I'm doing better than you.
I think I beat you. Yeah. There are some people on here that like just have stupid scores. And I know that they don't have any lives, so I just laugh at them and I say, you may have a better score, but I have more life going on.
Have you gone further than getting 3J?
No. I have 3J. That's all I have. But, okay, so the idea with Threes is it's you start out with a bunch of tiles, and there are multiples of three or the numbers 1 and 2. So every time, typically when you, so every time you make a move, you get another tile, and it's either a 1 or a 2 or sometimes something higher. But the idea is to combine the ones and twos, so then you get threes, and then you just simply match the numbers together. So you can move left, right, up, down, and match like the threes together. And then once you get you get threes combined, then they're sixes, and you combine the sixes, and then you can combine the 12s and the 24s and the 48s and the 96s, and it gets more progressively more complicated, because it of course you have to match these. So you have to, so once you get up to 96, you have to build up another tile that is 96 in order to match it with that other 96 tile. So it's very fun, very addicting, very simple, easy to play.
I wouldn't call it simple.
Well, yeah, okay, so it's a simple concept.
Simple to understand, yeah, the concept's simple, but it gets very challenging very quickly.
It can, for sure, because you want to, you start assessing, you know, what do I have on the board, what direction should I move in, and how will the next tile that's coming up affect what I'm planning on doing and combining and making sure I don't run out of moves. So it's a lot of fun. And for those of you who just don't really want to get this game for whatever reason, which I think you should, I've been playing another one. I didn't realize there was this phenomenon of this style of game, but there was one called, I think it was 1024, and then it got up to 2048. So it was base two. And so I don't know where those URLs are for those games, but there were web games, and I think an Android game as well. But the one I've been playing on my computer since I started playing threes, it's very similar, but not as refined, and it doesn't have as good of features as threes does, is Doge 2048.
Oh, yeah.
You played that?
Oh, yeah, I've played that.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing so much Doge 2048 right now. It's my girlfriend looked over like later last night after I showed it to her. She's like, or no, this is this morning. She goes, "You're still playing Doge?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still playing Doge because it's a lot of fun." So for whatever reason, if you don't or can't or don't want to get threes, Doge 24A is pretty fun, and will like wreck your life and take up all your time, so you know it's a good game. But otherwise, my pick is threes, and it's $1.99 right now. I guess.
Do you earn Dogecoin if you play Doge 2048?
Sadly, no.
No, unfortunately, you don't. Yeah, it doesn't constitute mining Dogecoin.
Oh. There's a mashup I see that needs to happen.
I completely agree. It does need to happen. Okay, so that's threes, and you can see all of our iPhone picks as well as the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Review the show in iTunes, and tell your friends if you know anybody who would like this show. Let them know. That's how we get the word out. Of course, advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. You can find Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer. That's macobserver.com, of course, and at jgamet on Twitter. And you can find the We Have Communicators mug, as well as other things that he has created, at zazzle.com/jgamet. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
Of course. And we're all going to be at Macworld iWorld next week.
Yeah, we're going to see each other in person.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So, okay, so if any We Have Communicators listeners happen to find me, as long as I'm not like in the middle of like an important meeting or on my way to a critical deadline, maybe I'll just draw you a picture.
Ooh,
that sounds cool.
Nice.
Yeah, cool. excuse me. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com. Mm-hmm. At MacCast on Twitter, member.maccast.com. He's going to be at Macworld as well.
Yes, and I just set up a new site for MacCast specifically for Macworld, iWorld.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I decided I want to do a little bit more in terms of just posting photos from around the show floor, before and after events, things like that. Maybe some audio comments, maybe some quick videos. Just more like a stream of what's going on at Macworld from my perspective as I'm running around. And so I set up a new site, maccast.today. You can go there. There's nothing there right now, Maccast, other than a placeholder page, but
maccast.today?
Yep.
Are you sure? Today isn't today isn't a top level domain, is it?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's not working. It searched for it.
It's propagating.
It searched for it. It just Googled that. So I have to type http://. Yeah, that's, I'm Safari. I'm stupid. I don't know what dot today is. Yeah, so I see it now.
It might be propagating still.
No,
it comes up. Propagating.
No, it comes up. It's just Safari's stupid and doesn't understand that dot today is a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It worked for me when I did it, so.
Oh, well. Yeah, there it is. There's your face.
Exactly. So I'm going to just post. It's just like a Tumblr, mm-hmm. because I figured that was easiest. It's just going to be a straight up stream of little quick stuff. So never had a place to really put that. I'm not a blogger, so I'm not going to be writing long posts, but it'll be photos and videos and audio things and that sort of stuff. So if you want to follow along there, I'll start posting probably. I get in on Tuesday, so it'll probably start around then, and I'll tweet out about it and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Follow along there. Oh, and I guess I should mention real quick a couple places I will be. So if you are going to be at Macworld, there is a live Mac show, the British Tech Network's Mac show that I'm going to be on 3:15 on Thursday.
Oh, we're both doing that.
Yeah, Jeff will be there as well. I am going to be at the Cultcast live party at 8 p.m. on Thursday.
Yep.
And then at 11:30 a.m. on Friday is the live Mac Roundtable podcast.
Doing that one with you too.
Yeah, Jeff will be there too. So if you want to stalk us, there's a couple points where you can find us and see us and say hi. And please, please do. Because right. That's one of the best parts about Macworld.
Do you have any sessions, Adam?
Listeners. No, I'm not doing any sessions.
Okay. I have two sessions, one on Thursday and one on Friday. And one's on fitness tech and the other's on wearable technology. So come visit.
There you go.
Yep. And I'm going to be there, and I'm not going to be doing anything fancy but roaming around. So if you find me, say hi. And, of course, I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, at GetAppler on Twitter. And, of course, check out Appler, GetAppler.com for your social app discovery needs. And with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.